We face death. All of us will have to face that time. It is part of the original sin. They sat in the garden and were told, if you partake of this, you will die. Now, as we do as humans, we have a certain idea about a certain thing. We develop a resolution. Our minds is an amazing thing that it will fill in the blanks if we do not know what the actual information is. And that is why it's so dangerous for us to judge. It's so dangerous for us to be so strongly opinionated, because we build things up in our minds that have absolutely no factual basis behind it. And we try to put that not only on ourselves, but we try to spread that to others. And that is why we have to filter everything through the Word of God to be able to see what He has for us and to see what His purpose is. And so in the garden, when they heard that they will die, and then Satan comes along and says, oh, you're not going to die. They had the idea that it was going to be instantaneous, that they were going to take that bite and they were going to drop dead. Because that is our human reaction to things. Don't touch that power line because you will die. And we have seen the results of that, or we know what the results are. Even if we haven't seen things in person, we know certain facts about things. If someone is shot, you know there's a good chance they're going to die because there's great traumatic force behind it. Now, the funny thing about death is that there's no set parameters. It's something that we are all going to face, but we don't know when that time is going to come. And it doesn't matter what our circumstances are. Toby Keith, the country singer, just recently passed away. He was 60, I believe, which, me being 43, I like to consider that relatively young. You know, it's not a common occurrence for someone to pass at that age. And he was unique in the way that he had cancer, but he also had means. He was wealthy. He had connections. He had his celebrity connections. So basically, he had access to anything possible he possibly could need to help combat what his body was facing. But yet, in the end, he was still not able to overcome it. But you have someone like Betty White, for example, that had the same kind of resources, the money, the fame, the presence, and that she had a life of 99 years. We have children that don't make it out of the womb. We have children that have very short lifespans. And we have people that live long, full lives. And there's everything in between. And none of us know the formula or anything that can predict when this is going to take place. Many people have a false illusion that they can live life the way they want to. They can leave God out of it. And they can wait till the end because they're expecting to have some kind of a sign or a warning. But yet it can happen in the blink of an eye where you're here one day and gone the next. For that reason, we need to be prepared. And some of us take that next step when we get that fire insurance, as they call it, to ensure that we've done the bare minimum to be able to make it to that next step, to make it to heaven. Just do the bare necessity. I had a man talk to me the other day, and he's kind of at a crossroads. He's a little bit older in years now, and he's trying to decide what to do with the rest of his life. He don't have any family, and his business was stopped by forces of nature, let's say. And so he's going to have to make a decision about what to do. Is he going to start over again, or going to do something else, or just, you know, call it quits? And he was asking my advice on it. He said, because, you know, I'm older. And I'm also, some of my health issues might be a concern. You know, what if I get all this started and I can't continue on with it? And my advice to him was, of course, is, you know, what does God have to say in the matter? Seek God. See what he's telling you, what direction he's at. But also, too, that we have to continually keep pushing on. God didn't mean us to be bogged down in circumstances. God didn't intend for us to just go so far and stop. It is man that's created this idea that we're supposed to work, 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 and then stop. And just quit. Now, we may want to move on and do different things. But we all have a purpose. This is another one of these things that we are all sharing, no matter how much we want to deny it. We all share the purpose of what God has for us. That is to share Him, to share the kingdom, to share Jesus, to be an example, to show what it's like to live with God in our lives, to keep doing. You look at all the examples that God has given us. He's constantly telling people to go. Go to that land to which I will tell you. I'll let you know when you get there. Go build that ark. Even though that there's not a cloud in the sky and no sign of rain. Go lead the people, even though that you're not the most qualified person for the job. Go march in. Take that land. I can't find one example where he says just do nothing. We had some people missing today because they had to travel out for a funeral. And person was, what I say, was relatively young, 40. Again, the older I get, I like to move that bar, keep moving that bar down. And there was nothing to show anything was going to happen. And we understand, you know, when accidents happen, whether, you know, be an auto or a fall or something like that, we have those things that we can kind of wrap our hands around a little bit. When there's no indication and we have a medical failure of the body and it just comes out of nowhere. See, because when we're of a certain age, we're still thinking about the future. We're still thinking about that go command. It's built into us. And we're built in God's image. And we wonder sometimes about where we get the idea to do these things. It's hardwired into us from God. Ambition. to go, to build, to do, to share. All from God. See, we get it twisted up sometimes because we fall under this earth curse system and we try to gather up all these things because we think that we're not going to have enough. So that's why we hoard, and that's why we try to have so many zeros in the bank account, and so why we try to keep everything to ourselves. But that's just the opposite of what God wants. God wants us to have an abundance, but he wants us to be able to use that abundance as well. To be able to share it with others, to be able to do grand gestures with it, to be able to do these things, to have the ability to do our works. And many of us, we hold back, and instead of going, if I just had a little bit more, if I just had this or that, I would be able to do these things. But in reality, that's what we say, that's what we think, but it's not really what's in our hearts. And God knows that. But this person, he was in the hospital, and they were trying to figure out what was going on and trying to have a resolution to this problem. And of course, many of the friends and family are believers. Not all of them, but a good portion were believers. So what do believers do in a time of desperation? See, in desperation, we do it more than any other time because we do everything that we can do, and then everything's out of our hands. That's when we turn to God. So we know that the prayers were being sent up, and we were doing that. We were asking for healing. And we know that God heals. Because his word says it, and we have experienced it. We've seen it happen. And not just the little things. It's big things too. My daughter had a heart condition when she was born. And there was a lot of concern, a lot of tests, a lot of doctor's trips, and they wanted to do surgery. And that's not something that I was a real big fan of. So me and my wife and my family and my church family, we all went to praying. And I asked God, I said, God, I don't want to have to make this decision. I don't want to have to be able to have to choose whether or not we go forward with this. I need you to make that decision for me. And he did. And he did in a very special way. We got a phone call, not from a nurse, not from a receptionist, but from the actual doctor. Because we went and got a second opinion, and we didn't like what the first one, we wanted to make sure. You know, you're talking about your kid. So we went and got that second opinion. That doctor called and said, hey, I wanted to call and I wanted to tell you this personally. Because this doesn't happen. We've had a whole entire medical team look at this. And we can't explain what has happened here. Because this kind of hole, she had a hole in her heart and between the walls, she said, this doesn't seal up on its own. It does not. It's not that kind of material. It will not close on its own. The only thing that closes up a hole like this is surgical intervention. She says, but now after re-looking at the scans, after the second scans, it's closed up 80%. So not only does she not have to have surgery, she's not a candidate at all and couldn't do it if we wanted to. She said, I don't understand what happened. I said, well, I do. And she said, actually, she said, you know, I'm a believer as well. And I said, officially, I can't say that, but I understand what happened. And I've shared that story quite a few times. But I didn't have to make that decision. God made it for me, and he did it in a very special way. But unfortunately, this is not always the case. And it was turning around. Seems like it was working. It seems like God was intervening because the levels was going up. Things were starting to look like it was moving in the right direction. And even some of the non-believers were like, hey, whoa, maybe we might be onto something here. And then things took a turn for the worse. And the person passed. These are difficult times. Because we know that God heals. We know that God performs miracles. I just gave you an example of one that I personally witnessed. But there's times that we still lose people. And it's very confusing because it seems like that this was best for everybody, for this person to pull through, to be this miracle. Because not only do the family keep their loved one, not only does this person have a second chance at life, but we can see the power of God work. It's a testimony. It seems like everything points to this needing to take place. But yet, it didn't. And this can be one of the most detrimental times in a person's walk with God. I know people that have had a loss like this, and they feel like that God has totally forsaken them and let them down. And because of that, they have completely turned away from God. But see, what we need to realize is that even though that we don't have all the answers, and there are certain things that we cannot answer, God has not revealed it all to us. He tells us that his ways are not ours. He doesn't think like us. His time is not like our sense of time. He knows how things are going to turn out. He knows the beginning from the end. And it's part of faith to be able to trust in him that he knows what he's doing. That no matter how detrimental it may seem to us at that moment, that he still knows what he's doing, that he is in control. That, my friends, is what true faith is. And of course, yes, it's nice to have these big praises and to be able to tell these stories of how God has intervened and what he's done in our lives. But there's more to it than that. Now, we were talking last week that how a lot of times from the pulpit, we only get half the story. That we get the good part of it. We get the hope. And you know, hope's a drug. Hope is something we enjoy, we cling to, and we want to just wallow all in it because it feels good. And it's that moment from the time that there's that spark of hope to the event or whatever it is that we're trying to get to or through or whatever, that we can experience that hope. It's that fantasy about what could take place. And we're trying to sell. We want people to be part. We want people to partake. We want them to accept Jesus. We want all of this, and we try to sell all the good portions of it. But there's also the challenges. There's the times when things are hard. There's the temptation. There's the struggle. There's all of these things that we face as part of life that God has included in his letter to us, is an instruction that's all part of his purpose, all thing that he's using, that we tend to gloss over because we're afraid about how it's going to make people feel. And we don't want to affect the numbers. We don't want to affect the participation. You know, we go to that wide spectrum and try to make it appeal to everyone. And if you're going to stick with the truth of the word, the truth of God, you can't do that. Because there are going to be times that you are going to offend. There are going to be times that you're going to hurt people's feelings. They're going to cause conviction, condemnation. And there's going to be times you're going to make people happy. But it's not a one-size-fits-all, walk-out, happy feelings, because that's not what it's about. We talk about relationships. God is a relationship, and there's going to be ups and downs, and there are going to be times that we are disappointed. There are going to be times that we are hurt. There are going to be times that we are confused and just don't understand. But what we have to do is maintain our faith. Because it's real easy to walk away. It's real easy to turn away. That happens a lot of times. One day to come in, preacher's talking about something. You get offended. You think he's personally attacking you. He has no idea it's even affected you. But then they go away because they don't want to feel that way. We don't want to feel these negative feelings. And if we can avoid that, that's what we'll do. And so many times that we walk away. And one time I did a message. It was called What We Do in a Crisis. And maybe we need to revisit that again because it's really important stuff. Because not only is it what we do during the good times, it's real easy to praise God when the miracle happens. It's real easy to praise God when the prayers are answered. But what about in the hard times? Because people are watching both ways. And whenever we can still praise God, even though we don't feel like it. Now, you might be saying, well, what are you talking about? You know, how can you praise God if you don't feel like it? Aren't we supposed to have this bubbly, loving feeling towards God all the time? Now, if we back up a few things, we've talked about what do we do when we're mad at God? Because we're human. We are going to have these times when we just simply don't agree about what he's doing. Because we're human. But we don't let that dictate how we truly feel about him. Think about it like this. Your children, your spouse, your parents, someone in your life that you have a relationship with, at some point in time, are going to do something as an action to you, say something to you. They're going to do something that is going to cause some strife in your life. They're going to do something that is going to anger you, upset you, hurt you. And during that time, it's going to change the surface way that you feel about them till you work through your feelings. But at the core, you still love them. No matter how much they disappoint you, no matter what they do to you, no matter how bad they hurt your feelings, no matter how bad they screw up, you still love them. That's part of the human condition. And we're in a relationship with God. And it's the same thing. There's going to be times mainly through our own lack of understanding, that we are going to be hurt, disappointed, angry. But what we have to do is remember that core. And that faith, that's going to soften you back up. It's about the choices we make. And when people see that you can have these kinds of disappointments and still be able to praise God, that there is something special there. And that's enough to make them say, maybe I need to look a little further into this. Another thing that we need to understand is that the majority of our problem with our loss is, the fact is that it's our loss. We're the ones that are hurting because we're left behind. We have this void, this person that was a big part of us that's now gone. But we have to remember that that's not the end. I can't imagine a life without God in it to believe that once it's over, it's over. That you start from nothing and from a series of randomness, from a mentality that says that stuff happens, then people end and that's the act. Nothing returns to nothing. But for us, as a born again believer, it's just the beginning. This life is just a blip. It's the preface of a book. It's the opening credits of a movie. It's not the main course. It's an appetizer. It's something to just get us started. We have eternity. Amen. And we're sad for our loss. But one would imagine what it's like to be on the other side. No more tears, no more pain. And we asked the Lord for healing. And to be on the other side with no more tears and no more pain, that's the ultimate healing. That's the ultimate healing. So we can say that God didn't answer our prayers, or did he? And I'm not one to speak in a way, I don't want to polish the plate, so to speak, and just put a positive spin on it. That's truth. Because people will have all kinds of antidotes to try to soften the blow. They'll say things like, well, God needed another angel. God doesn't turn people into angels. He created them already. It irks me when I see on the back of a car that they have a little from to from date and have a little, someone's an angel now. No, you're not. You're God's greatest creation.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
He's not going to downgrade you. He created us because he loved us, because he wanted a family, because he wanted us to be part of all this. If he wanted more angels, he could just whip some more up, but he's got all he needs. He doesn't have to take any of us. But he is taking us from the hardships of this life, this world. You know, when we're young and we're first starting out, even as we're kids, we're thinking about all the things that we want to do and accomplish, and we see things of the world. And, you know, we want to travel the world and see the sights and experience things and do things. But as you become older and you start developing that relationship with God, and we get these little glimpses of what that next life is going to be, suddenly this life doesn't look as appealing anymore. But that next life does. That eternity. People would talk about, you know, they say we're in the end times now, and they've been saying that ever since Jesus was walking around down here with us. They've been saying that this is the end. This is it. This is it. He's coming to set up his kingdom. He's coming to set up his kingdom. And they've been saying it all this time, and we're constantly trying to prove it. And I get asked that sometimes, and I know what the word says. It says that no one knows the time but God. So there's no sense of me trying to figure it out. I've learned a long time ago that I am not smarter than him. That I am not going to be able to do that. So there's no sense of me trying to figure it out. And I've been asked before, I said, why don't you talk about the end times and these things like that? Well, one of the reasons is because we're going to get there. We're going to get there. But we need to be concerned about right now. Right now. Because everything we do is preparing us for the end. And we may never get there during our lifetime. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. But what we can do is make the most of every day that we have. And we're a lot more effective teaching, living our lives for God, trying to, and I say trying because it's not an absolute, trying to learn Him better to the best of our ability. Because even though no matter how much we do, we seek so many times that I read through the Bible one time, I'm good, I'm done. It's living, it's evolving, it's working with you as you mature, as you experience, and you go back to it. You know, we revisit the same scripture time after time, and we talk about different things with it. We talk about different messages, different lessons God has for us, because it's constantly evolving. He just keeps giving. It's amazing what's in this book. That's why I say that if you doubt the word, that you have not truly immersed yourself in it, because if you have truly immersed yourself and you see how it works together, how it works in your life, how it comes to life, then you know that that is the inspired word of God. We all face these challenges. But we have to trust in Him. And Satan, he is going to take the time when you're at your lowest, and he's going to whisper in your ear, God didn't hear you. Or better yet, he did, but he did nothing about it. We talk about what we've lost, but what about what that person has gained? It's not lost forever. See, that's the beauty about being born again. If the ones we love are born again too, we will all be together again. It's a temporary hiatus. A temporary hiatus. We will come back together. You know, you talk about, you think about all the things that you want to do, and then as you start to accomplish them, and you start changing your direction, you're changing your thoughts. You know, we don't get a lot of idea about what heaven's about. We get a very incomplete picture. We get a really incomplete picture of hell as well. And God has purpose in that, as He does in everything. He is wanting us to use our faith. And sometimes, as bad as this world is, if you made heaven sound too good, we might want to check out early. We have a job to do. We have purpose. And we don't know what everyone's purpose is. You know, it's all different. Sometimes our purpose is completed sooner than others. But God takes care of everyone. It's a peace when you know that the ones you love confess to be born again. When you look at the actions, what comes from their heart, and you see godly actions. You see that come from them. We have a God that takes care of the young. That they have the age of accountability. That if they don't know, if they can't make those conscious decisions for themselves, He does it for them. He takes care of them. That no one is lost. We call it the lost, but you know that's a choice. Because even if you're in the dark and you're wandering around in the dark because you choose to be there, that beacon of light is out there. And all you have to do is walk towards it. All you have to do is follow it. And Jesus is waiting there, open arms, ready to go. Yeah. We choose to be in the dark. And they walk around and they ask, do you believe? No, I do not. And why is that? Because I do not see enough evidence of it. Well, if you don't see enough evidence, you haven't looked hard enough. You haven't talked to the right people. And there's a lot of things that can sway us, but we have to understand who that really is. We're going to talk about something in the future that made a lot of sense to me when I heard it. Why we have such issues today when we try to come to God. And we'll talk about that at another time. But for now, we just have to stay strong in our faith. We're not always going to have the answers. And sometimes they come later. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they're just around the bend. Sometimes they're not there at all. But we get instruction from a lot of different people in our lives. And a lot of times we do not understand. Why do parents have certain rules? Why do we have certain laws? Why do we have to do this? Why does the boss want it done a certain way? And we blindly follow it. But we have God that's never truly let us down. Now we feel like he's let us down, but he's never truly let us down. Because no matter what situation we go through or what happens, even though it's not the result that we wanted, God did it the best way for us. Now that can be a hard lump to swallow. And it's really hard when we are trying to convince others. Well, you know, sometimes God really, really comes through and he performs these miracles, but other times things didn't work out the way I wanted it to. So that's not how we sell things. But it's important. Because if we expect it, if we tell the truth, then when that person experiences it, it's not a shock. It's not a shock. See, that's what we do so many times through church and individually. We build up a one-sided picture of God. Now, I'm not saying that we're not bashing him. We're not painting him in a negative light. We're just saying that sometimes we don't understand everything that he does. But no matter how much that we don't understand, no matter what we do and it doesn't work out for us, that God has our best interest. And we can't go back and forth with it because we can't be happy one minute and bashing him the next because we paint an incomplete picture that way as well. God is always good. Every good thing is from him. And we need to change our vocabulary about how we address things when we're talking about him. God didn't take them away from you. God didn't kill them. He called them home. He called them home. God's not making you suffer. We were never meant to endure this kind of stuff. You know, think about that. We were never supposed to have a physical death. We were never supposed to see loved ones die. We were not supposed to experience that. But we let sin in, and that's part of it. We need to rejoice in the fact that it's not permanent. That we have each other always. That God has given us that gift. That He took our mistake, He took our mess, and He fixed it. He fixed it.